Welcome to AM Best Audio.
Swiss Re released their new report, The Future of Excess Mortality After COVID-19, which states that despite projected excess mortality continuing in the U.S. for the next 10 years, COVID-19 pandemic-linked excess mortality may disappear by 2028, reverting to pre-pandemic expectations. I'm John Weber for AM Best Audio, and I'm speaking today to Neil Sprackling, CEO, U.S. Life and Health, to tell us more about that. Neil, so glad you could join us today.
Yeah, John, it's great to be with you. Again, always a pleasure to speak with you and AM Best.
So Neil, what are the key drivers of excess mortality these days?
Yeah, so it's shifting a little bit, John, right? So I think you point around COVID-19 having an effect on this, very much so when we think about what I'll describe as respiratory conditions or infections, right? If you think about the way the pandemic played out and the medical impact of it, you can probably not be surprised to hear that. The more indirect part of it, though, related to COVID is around cardiovascular mortality. And these are sort of things that we hear when we talk about long COVID and post COVID effects. So those are both but pretty significant in what we're seeing in terms of this continued excess level of mortality.
You mentioned cardiovascular disease. What excess mortality should be attributed to COVID-19 and its ancillary impacts, such as cardiovascular disease or cancer?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to break things down, right, John, into actually, you know, which underlying cause accounts for what proportion of the excess. I think, you know, what we saw through 2023 was an excess running about 4%, right? What we are observing as we head towards the last quarter of this year is it ranging in the 2-3%. So the good news is it's coming down, right? It's very difficult, though, to break down these different causes, direct or indirect, into sort of little proportions, right? I'm giving you a sort of sense of where we're seeing some of them, the most significant drivers. So that's the respiratory infections. That's your post-COVID, long COVID effects. That's your cardiovascular. And then there are a couple of other things I would just point to, John. One are what we describe as healthcare disruption. Right. And we saw that on the cardiovascular side and we saw it on the cancer side. That is trending downwards. You would expect that. Right. This was really what we attributed to delayed screenings for different conditions. Right. But obviously with cancer, some of that is taking time to play out, you know, through the population. And we're still seeing some of that. And then I want to mention one other thing, which is perhaps not the obvious one when we think about excess mortality. And this is what I'm going to bundle as lifestyle and metabolic health. And we can pick this up again in a moment, if you like, because it's an interesting topic in itself and one that we must pay attention to.
Is this all having an impact on the life insurance industry, Neil?
Yeah, look, of course it is, right? I mean, this excess mortality that we're talking about is playing out through the general population, so that's everybody, and also the people that we insure. And the intersection between the two is quite close. So does it affect life insurers and life reinsurers like us? Yes, it absolutely does. I think we should think about it in, you know, the claims that we're paying out. And you could, you know, if you just sort of like do the basic math here, if you've got excess mortality, which is over and above what you've priced for, you're going to see some excess claims coming through. And that has some impact then on how we reserve for the business more generally. I think the other point I would make is just around underwriting. You know, the top three impairments that we see when we underwrite cases. This is an organization globally for Swiss Re, but this would be particularly relevant for the US. Is raised cholesterol, high blood pressure, and type 2 diabetes. Right. And so these are things that are increasingly prevalent when people are completing their application. So we have to remain very cognizant of the impact as we go through the underwriting process, not lose sight of the fact that we've still got some of these underlying conditions that some are coming from COVID and some are coming from lifestyle that I just mentioned. So, yes, from a life insurance perspective, it plays out across pricing, excess claims, reserve strengthening, and underwriting.
Customize your data experience. Best Link now offers an interactive company dashboard that provides company-level intelligence in a fast, user-friendly interface featuring interactive tables, charts, and Sparkline performance histories. Customize the dashboard tiles to prioritize the insurer ratings, data, and analytics that best support your workflow. AM Best. Our insight, your advantage.
So then what excess mortality can we expect over the next 10 years or so?
Yeah, so there's various different scenarios that we've looked at, John. And, you know, I think that there's definitely a view that as we look forward, this will tail off over the next 9 to 10 years, right? So as we get to, say, 2033, we think it'll come down to somewhere between 0 and 3%. So, as I said before, we're around about 2 to 3 at the moment. There are different scenarios, some less, some more optimistic, but I think that's generally what we should expect. And by the way, that's also in line with what the Society of Actuaries have said themselves around the lingering effect of this excess mortality. So my message here, John, is this is something that we are going to see for the next decade or so. And so we need to continue to pay attention to it and to understand it. And what, back to your first question, what the drivers are.
Then do we see some promising developments for reducing excess mortality, Neil?
Yeah, we do. And that's the positive piece I wanted to bring out here, John, right? Because otherwise things left sound a little negative with this excess mortality piece. There are positive things. Let me point to a couple of really tangible examples for you. Cancer screening in general, right? Two things I would point to here. One, there is a newly launched vaccine for bowel cancer that's just been launched in the UK. Bearing in mind that the cancer deaths account for about 20% of all deaths in the US population and about 30% of deaths in the insured population, right? So the advent of a vaccine is a very, very positive development. And you know, this can lead to people living, you know, longer, healthier lives. And obviously, you know, that has an impact on the excess death rates that we were talking about. The other thing I would just talk to you more broadly are what we call these advanced cancer diagnostic techniques. So the multi-cancer early detection blood tests that we're seeing, becoming much more prevalent in the medical field, but also coming into the insurance scene as well. These are really good, right? Because these give the ability to detect cancers at a much early stage. They improve survival rates, and therefore they improve overall mortality. So I think, you know, these are things that we should feel very positive about. This is where you get this great sort of intersection of the medical industry and the life insurance industry.
Exciting times. Neil, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us.
It's great, John. Always a pleasure, right? And look forward to the next time we have an opportunity.
I as well. That was Neil Sprackling, CEO, U.S. Life and Health for Swiss Re. And I'm John Weber for AM Best Audio.
Looking to get the full attention of the insurance industry? We have the platforms that will do just that. Whether it be AM Best TV, AM Best Audio, Best Review Magazine, or Best Day. Find out more by calling AM Best Advertising Sales at 908-439-2200, extension 5399, and have a great day.